Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dialed In. I am here with Susanna. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Susanna. I don't know that I quite have all the enunciation correctly, but anyway, she's here to share her story. So you heard about her story a little bit in the introduction, but we're just going to chat. We're going to chat about being organized, being less overwhelmed with life, about going rogue and choosing a life that's different maybe than your starting point. So welcome to Dialed In.
Thank you. Pleasure. And thanks for having me.
Of course. Of course. So I am just going to let you start wherever you want to start, and I'll just ask questions as we go.
So I think we need to go in the beginning of my story and where I'm from. So I'm originally from Finland, although I'm recording this from the New South Wales South Coast in Australia.
Wow.
So there's quite a distance of where I am and where I come from. So I was born in 76, which makes me quite old, in a very industrial town in Finland. My parents, my mother never worked. She was a housewife, and my father worked in a paper mill. I had really normal Finnish childhood. I was an average student at school. And my sister was 2 years older. And then I had a brother who was deeply handicapped. My mother had rubella when she had my sister and brother, who were older sister and brother. Mm-hmm. They were twins. And for some reason, the rubella virus, this is back in the early 70s, mm-hmm. only affected my brother. So when he was born, he was severely handicapped. And my mother cared for him all his life, and he stayed home with us. And my mother never went to work until we went to school. So in Finland, you start school about age 7. Mm-hmm. So we are lucky that we have very long childhood and we don't go to school until we're 7.
Wow.
And that kind of teach me a lot of independence, because we had to take the bus where we're about 5-6 kilometers from the school to the center of the town and go to school there. As I said, I was average student. I wasn't really great on anything, any particular subject. I loved history, so for some reason. I loved geography and biology, but I wasn't very good at them. I hated maths and chemistry. That was just like, ugh, and physics. I couldn't stand any of those stuff. But I was really good in creative arts, so like drawing and music and sports. So everything that you can move yourself basically and mm-hmm. do something that doesn't require reading. And then we discovered that I have a dyslexia. So at the age of, I might have been like around 10, I was diagnosed with dyslexia. Mm. And I remember I got a lot of support from the teachers. I have a support teacher who was helping me out. And then by the time I came to high school, and we have a high school exams like you would have in US, mm-hmm. I got like help with the exam, in the sense that, you know, when they score you, they take in consideration that you have a dyslexia. So it shouldn't make any difference in terms of scoring, but they will look, okay, this mistake is not because she's a dumb, but this mm-hmm. is a mistake because she has a dyslexia. Mm-hmm. So after that, I really didn't know what to do. I just was broken up with my long-term boyfriend, and I was only like 17, I was 17, 18. And I went to nursing school. So my sister had done nursing before me, and she was just graduating. So I went to nursing school as well, thinking this is what I want to do. And I was there. I loved it. I loved the people I was with. I graduated, and my sister had then gone to work in London as a nurse, because in Finland there was high unemployment rate at the time. This was like, we were like a late 1998, 99. Mm-hmm. And I decided to go to London as well. And meanwhile, my sister had come back and I went to London. So 99 February, it was minus 23 in Finland and snow everywhere. And I'm jumping on a plane in Helsinki and arrived at London Heathrow, which is green as it can be. Mm. And I'm like, oh my God, it's February. It's supposed to be snow. What's wrong with this place? And it was warm. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I moved to London, 99. I didn't know anybody. My sister had already returned back to Finland, and she went to university to study to become a teacher. So she left the nursing profession, mm-hmm. and I went there to work as a nurse. So I got a place in hospital in London, to work as an orthopedic nurse. And I did that for about 2 years. I met my now husband then. Mm-hmm. And I was working there and I really knew that, okay, this wasn't for me anymore because mm-hmm. I had a back pains and I was like, I'm too young. I was like 25 and I was like 24. I was like, this is too young to have back pains. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do this rest of my life. And I decided then that, okay, there needs to be something more. And I started looking for a way out. I had met my then husband, as I said, and I then even applied to go back to university in Finland, and I was giving the place, and I remember having this conversation with my husband. It's like, okay, do you want to move to Finland with me? Because I've been given opportunity to go and study more. And we were, you know, having this conversation, and he was like, yeah, I will leave everything here and I would follow you to Finland to live with you. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a keeper, you know, like he's ready to move to a country. He doesn't speak the language, he's English, and he's, you know, prepared to follow me to Finland. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, go girl.
Yeah.
So I decided to stay in London instead of going and taking that, you know, university place. And I changed career. So I went to work in a corporate world. And I work for a big company, which is a medical and security assistance company. And I work in the as one of the assistant manager in their London branch for a long, long time. And same time, I then decided to go back to university in London. And I started studying and I did a degree on international relations. And it was something completely different. And I kind of, in hindsight, I wish I would have gone and studied a little bit more of it. But I did the degree and I was like, oh, thank God. It was 4 or 5 years part-time while you're working. So it wasn't like you're a full-time student.
Yeah.
So while you're working, you're also studying. So I got it done. And then 2 years later, my company offered me opportunity to travel and come to Sydney. So, okay, we can relocate you to Sydney, but first you have to go to Auckland. I was like, oh, that's a tough choice. Of course. The biggest problem was getting my husband or my boyfriend at the time to agree to come with me. And he's very British and he wanted to stay in UK. But then I remember us putting things on papers, black and white, like the weather is good. The weather in London is not so good. And the living expenses and a living style is better. And yeah, so then he agreed to come with me. I was kind of thinking he wanted to move Finland with me, but now he doesn't want to go to Australia.
Right.
I was like, what's wrong with you? So yeah, so this was 2008. I then moved to Australia with my company. And already then I was kind of like, I've done this corporate career for such a long time, or it felt such a long time. And I'm not sure this is what I want to do. I've progressed in my career and I've gone up, you know, in a ladder. And yeah, that's great. And your pay is increasing and then your responsibilities are increasing. And then I started thinking, I want to start my own company. And I remember, you know, quite vividly thinking about what could I do? What could I do? What kind of, you know, business would I put up?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking quite a lot and it didn't really happen. And we end up getting married. And at the same time, I discovered I was pregnant with my number one, and that was 2012. So, and before that, I'd been traveling around the world with my job. I was an internal auditor for the company. So I was doing global audits, and I was like, even when I was pregnant, I went around the world like three times in economy class. May I say, around the world three times. And I was just like, I've had enough. So when I had my first son, I knew I was not going to go back to the corporate world. I knew I was not going to go back to the life that I had, because it just didn't fuel me anymore. It just didn't fill me with joy. It was filling me anxiety just thinking about that I have to go back to work in a corporate world and be something that I don't want to be. I knew the job and I knew the company and they've been great for me, but it just was not me anymore. And then I stayed home for 2 years and then I find out I was pregnant with my number two. And at the same time, I then resigned, because in Australia, you can stay home for 2 years before you have to actually hand your letter unless they...
You can stay home for 2 years?
Yes, and still keep your job.
What? So... Wow.
I know. So then I resigned, and they, because then you have in New South Wales, you have a law that you get a long service leave if you've been with the company more than 10 years. And globally, I have been with the company more than 10 years, and I made sure that was honored in my contract. So I got the long service leave paid, which paid my maternity leave for the next time round. And I stayed home. And then while I had number two, I started thinking the business thing more and thinking, look, you know, I'm not going to go back to there. And I started the business with another Finnish mother. So I don't know if you've heard about this Finnish baby box. So it's a cardboard box with a mattress on it, and it had all the goodies for the mother for the first 9 months, basically. So Finnish government gave one of those for every mother in Finland for free. So the box is actually, you can sleep the baby there as well. That's why it has the mattress on it. So we started the same here in Australia, and we had success in terms of like individuals were buying the box, but we were trying to get those big hospitals, health authorities, NGOs interested and wanting to buy the box. Mm-hmm. And we never really got there. And 2 years then down the line, I felt burned out. I remember sending a message in the WhatsApp with my friend who is a life coach and saying, this is how I feel. I feel burned. I just don't have any energy. I hate my business. Mm. And she just said, I want you 2 weeks, just switch everything off. Don't look at the social media. Just do the bare minimum, send the orders out, but just read and just be yourself. Like just chill. And that's what I did. And I felt better after 2 weeks, but I knew then that I have falling out of love with the business and I needed to go. Like I couldn't deal with it anymore. Mm-hmm. And it was hardest part to let go and depart with something that you have created, because it's like giving birth to a third child, your business. And I just couldn't deal with it anymore. And I didn't love it. It didn't fuel my energy. So even then I was like, I felt my creative juices just wasn't like being met by the business, and I feel that I want to do something more. And I started my podcast, The Nordic Mom, and that was kind of my way of, you know, expressing myself, I would say. Mm-hmm. Talking about myself and talking with other people, it kind of felt right to me. And I was kind of looking, going back to my Nordic roots, my roots from Scandinavia, and what does it mean to me, and how do I keep my kids engaged with my culture and my heritage, mm-hmm. and where do they fit in all this? Because I always started the business in the idea that it's a better life for us having both parents earning money. But then I realized I become angry mummy and, you know, angry wife, and I just did not want to have anything to do with my kids and my husband, because I was all the time in a computer, you know, working on the business. So yeah, so that's when I let go of my business and moved on doing something more creative. And that's 2 years, 2.5 years, 100 and whatever episodes later, here I am. And I do have to say that we moved from Sydney to South Coast about 3 years ago. So I still had my baby box business. And we moved down here, and that was one of the best moves we ever done. It's less crowded. It's more about the slow life and taking it easy and just, you know, getting on with your life and being less about earning lots of money and being on the rat race, which just doesn't fill anybody with, you know, with, well, it fills my husband apparently, but not, it doesn't fill me with joy or anything else. I also, while I moved to Australia, I had a dream, and the dream was to become a pilot. So while I was with my first child, I also completed with my pilot license. So I'm a qualified private pilot license holder, and been flying a little bit ever since then, but not enough. And my husband's saying, well, you need to get a job or earn enough money to go back to flying. So that's me in a nutshell.
Wow, that is quite a story. So... okay. In the beginning, when you decided to resign, that's a big step. So, I mean, there's all kinds of big steps actually, as I look at your story, but just what do you think gave you the courage to see things differently? Because Well, I can speak for the US. I don't know how it is in Finland. So, but in the US, there's like this programming that happens where you grow up and you go to college and you get a good job and you get as much stuff as possible. Every commercial wants you to get that car. It's going to make you feel good. Then you have to buy a house and you need to live in a certain neighborhood. And then you get all this stuff and then you'll be okay. But then you're empty inside. I mean, most people are empty inside, but they don't see any other way. Like when I hear your story, like, you saw there was a different way. Like, where did that come from?
I would say that it actually come from my childhood and the life that I have lived, because yes, you're right. In Finland, we do have the same kind of like, you need to get the house by the lake, you need to get the car, mm-hmm. and you need to get the steady job. So we have that so-called programming as well. Mm-hmm. So that's what you are meant to do. But I was always the one who was protesting against the norm, I would say, even from the childhood. I was the one who was in trouble in school quite frequently, mm-hmm. because of opinions or actions, let's put it that way. So I was always like thinking that there is something else. And my uncle was an art gallerist. So he owned his own art gallery. He's always worked for himself. And in my mother's side, my mother, when she finally went to work, she went to work for her cousin who owned a nursery, growing plants and strawberries and etc. So she went to work there. So there was a lots of like influences in my childhood that you can actually earn money and be all right just working for yourself. Mm-hmm. So I think that in back of my mind was telling me it's all right. But then when it came to the fact of resigning, and I actually had written my resignation letter years earlier, so just before I find out I was pregnant, I was going to hand into my notice, and I have discussed it through with my my husband that I can resign and I can concentrate doing my commercial pilot license and just go Kahoon directly and just fly mm-hmm. until I get the commercial license and follow that path. But I had it in my pocket, literally in my pocket.
Oh my goodness.
And then I find out I'm pregnant and I'm like, okay, right. Scrap that plan, not now. But then when I did resign, I felt just relieved that I had come to the point that I had to say them, look, I don't want to continue with you guys anymore. Mm-hmm. Funniest thing is that then a year later, the people that I work with came back and asked, would you be interested in working part-time, working from home with a laptop, and we provide you the training for this role, da, da, da. And that was just at the same time when I was about to launch my baby box business. And it was like shedding water kind of moment. It's like, yeah. Okay, I could go back to the same old devil and know that they're going to take your little finger and then they're going to take your hand and rest of your body. Mm-hmm. Or I could go to this unknown and see where it takes you. And I'm a risk taker as a person. My husband is very much about being really steady job and getting the income in. So I was like, okay, well, you're the steady person here and I'm the Kahoon. So I'm just going to jump the boat and resign. And he was happy with that and he was comfortable with it. And I was like, yeah, go for it.
Wow. That's amazing. I love it. I think that sometimes we can forget that there's options. It's like, and I know I use the word programming, but I mean, we're all raised with an idea of what normal is. And I'm doing air quotes here. Like, and that sometimes that normal puts us in a box.
I agree.
And that box doesn't allow us to see possibility outside of that. And so, you know, I have people like you on Dialed In because I want to show people that it's possible. It's possible to do something that you love. And then when you don't love it anymore, to pivot and do something different and find something else you love. Like it's okay to do that. And it is so very possible. So you have a podcast now that is that your primary, like what your business is? I mean, can you tell me more?
So the Nordic Mom is about Nordic lifestyle. So being about the slow living and how to have that happy medium with work and life balance. And I think the Finnish people, the Scandinavian countries are really good at that, because it is very slow paced life. And it's more about what you can do outside of your work than what you actually work. You don't work to live, you live to work, kind of, you know, the scenario. So I think that was like, when I started the podcast, it was first about parenting and then it was about business. And then episode 52, I didn't even have website or anything. So episode 52 comes, I put my website live and I start writing blog posts with every episode. And I gear towards interviewing Scandinavian women, doing solo episodes about just Nordic living and Nordic lifestyle. And I didn't have any products until actually this Monday. So I launched my first product, which is, thank you, which is a Scandinavian calendar. So it's an A4 wall calendar for next year, which has all the holidays on all the Scandinavian languages, plus in English. So that's something that I was creating and I was like, oh, this is something I want to do. This is something I want to have. Mm-hmm. So that's what I created as my first product. And my husband has been asking me for ages. So what does your podcast actually produce? Like, where do you make the money? Like, you're not making any money. And I was like, well, you know, things happen slowly. So you have to kind of, you know, take your time. And he's kind of like gently kind of nudging me, like, are you trying to get a job? Should you get a job? Or are you really going to just podcast and blog, which doesn't bring any money and you're just doing it for because you enjoy it? And I'm like, okay, well, here's my first product. And I have other products in the pipeline, but that was the first one. I just wanted to do it before Christmas and get it out there. But yeah, that's what I do. That's where I am.
That's amazing. So how do people find you?
So you find me in my website, which is thenordicmom.com, and Instagram, I'm thenordicmom, as well as Pinterest and Facebook. It's thenordicmomsusanna. And Twitter, it's the Nordic Mom, sorry, Nordic Mom Podcast without the T in the end, because there wasn't enough letters.
Okay.
So I'm everywhere.
You are everywhere. All right. I'll be sure I'll put all of those links in the show notes where people can find you. I love your story. I'm looking over at the notes I've taken because
thank you.
You're proof. You're proof that doing what you love is possible. So I guess I would ask you, so my listeners typically are in two camps. So first, they're maybe working a job they don't like, or they're in a career and they're ready for a change. And they're just wondering if it's possible for them to really get dialed in to who they are and what they want, and then step into that big life, whatever that is for them. Or they're people that are in the trenches, like they've taken the leap, they've gotten the promotion, or they've started the business, or, you know, they've quit their job and don't know what to do next. I mean, that's kind of the gamut of the people that listen to my podcast. And so what would you say to those people that, you know, that are listening, that are like, wow, if you can do it, maybe I can do it too. What encouragement would you offer them?
I would say that you have to believe in yourself, and you need to believe in whatever it is that you want to do, because nobody else won't believe you until you do. And I think it takes a lot of courage in the kind of world we live nowadays, whether it's America, whether it's Europe or Australia, wherever you are, to take that leap, because it is unnerving, it's unsettling, not knowing where your next paycheck will come. Because if you take that leap and you don't actually have a safety net, it can be terrifying. But I'll also say that you have to embrace uncertainty. You need to embrace the change, and it will all figure it out stuff out, but you have to believe what you're doing. And you need to kind of, when you then project yourself towards people, you need to project that confidence on you and your abilities and your project, your business, whatever it is that you want to do. And lots of people start like a side hustles, and that's maybe another way I would encourage people. Just start doing it on the side of your existing job or work or the whatever you want to do, and just doing it in a side and see where does it take you. And you might find that, okay, it's not the right path, but you find that you like something else more. And that will then kind of fuel you. Okay, well, I didn't like the business, but I actually like writing, or mm-hmm. I like actually directing. And you go a different way of what you perhaps would have done if you would have just taken the leap and just left your corporate life and gone the merry way and find that you're like, well, I said, the business that I created, I did it all by the T. Like, I did it all like this is the way it's supposed to be. Like, I had the business plan, the marketing plan, mm-hmm. the plan, and it still didn't work out. Mm-hmm. So I would say that you have to kind of winging it a little bit. You have mm-hmm. to kind of just take it as it comes and don't, yes, plans are good, but you know, plans are not everything. So you can plan as much as you want, but there will be situations where the plan just goes out of the window because there is no answer in those plans for everything when you're just going for it. So yeah, don't plan too much.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's when you say that, it brings to mind Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx.
Yes, I know her.
Okay, so I saw her post on LinkedIn just maybe a month ago, and it said, "I never had a business plan." Mm, you know, yeah. Like sometimes we get in our head. Again, there's nothing wrong with having a business plan, but if that's what's stopping you from stepping out into whatever is waiting for you, the life that's waiting for you, then ditch the business plan and follow your own inner instincts. And I'm not saying take risks and live in a van down by the river and, you know, subject your family to poverty. You know, I'm not saying do that, but you can start, like Susanna said, a side hustle and have that, you know, growing, and then take steps to step out of wherever you're at and step into the life that's waiting for you. I just think it would be absolutely amazing if all of us could live true to who we were made to be and do things that fed our soul, because there are people that love the corporate world, and that's their jam, and that's where they should be, right? But then there are other people that just do it because they feel like they're supposed to. And I don't want that for anybody. Like, I've been in that camp where I felt like I spent years telling myself, you should be happy. What is wrong with you? You should. This is what you grew up thinking that you needed to have, and now you have it, and why aren't you happy? And I just gave myself guilt. But I was miserable and disconnected and stressed out and all the things. And finally, you know, there's a point in time where you reach a crossroads and you've got to make a decision. And that looks different, I think, for everybody. I mean, you listen to all the episodes of my podcast where I've interviewed people that have taken leaps. They've taken risks to live big, and every single story is different, and it's amazing, but it all takes courage, right? And it all takes thinking outside of the box. I mean, I hate that saying, but you know, thinking outside of what is normal in most cases. So I love those points. Thank you for sharing that with us. I always like to wrap up the podcast with a few teaching points, and I pulled out three from what Susanna shared with us. Number one, don't stay somewhere that doesn't bring you joy. In her story, she mentioned that, you know, what she was doing wasn't bringing her joy anymore, and she recognized that. So if you're in that spot, don't tamp it down and tell yourself that you should be happy or you should be grateful and give yourself guilt and be mean to yourself. Explore it. What does that look like? What would it mean for you to have joy? Well, you know, where would you be? What would you be doing or feeling or accomplishing if you could have joy in your life? Number two, when things don't feel right, get quiet and chill. So in Susanna's story, she mentioned that she got in touch with a life coach friend of hers who told her to basically chill, get quiet, and you know, take some breaths here and figure out, because the truth is the answers are always inside of us. Like, if we can just get quiet, we have an inner knowing and a power within us that most of the time we don't even realize is there. So we're so powerful. And number three, don't be afraid to pivot as you grow and change. It is okay. Just because you're passionate about one thing, you know, for 5 years doesn't mean that you can't be passionate about something else in the next 5 years. That's what becoming is. That's what growth is. You reach a different level and you're like, ooh, I want to try this. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's the journey of this amazing life that we have. So, Susanna, thank you. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my goodness. It has been amazing talking with you. And listeners, thank you for spending time with us here today. Again, be sure to connect with Susanna. I'll leave all of her information in the show notes for easy access. And as always, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And until next time, take action, live big, and stay dialed in. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Dialed In. We are approaching 100 episodes. In fact, before the end of 2020, we will have recorded our 100th episode. It's been so much fun putting out this podcast and getting your feedback and seeing how you're sharing it with your friends. And I just wanted to take a minute and thank you for that. In fact, I have a gift for you. Consider it a Christmas gift to yourself from me. I'm doing a conference online, a virtual conference, and I'd like to invite you to be my guest. This conference is talking about, well, all the things that we talk about in this podcast, being unapologetically you. You see, you can't get dialed in and really live a big life if you aren't tuned into who you are. So we're going to discuss how to stop believing the stories that block you, how to unlock your confidence, and talk about what it means to think differently, to have a different perspective so you can truly create a life that you love. Now, if you're ready for change in any area of your life, this conference is for you. It's December 16th and 17th. It's all done inside of Zoom. You can get all the details and get free access to this conference at www.unapologeticallyyouseries.com. Again, that's www.unapologeticallyyouseries.com. I will see you on the inside. Thanks so much for being here.